Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 16th of June, 2024. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 1. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, nor even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic, who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him, because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Yeshua saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Yeshua perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Heavenly Father, yet again, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that it has life. And we pray that this day we will tap into the life that is in your word and make it part of our spirit man. Thank you for your power in our lives. We give you praise in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now the title of this message is Looking for Faith. And we need to grasp that God, when he looks on the earth, is always looking for faith. He's looking for faith demonstrated in the lives of his people. And there's a good reason for this. But let's look at this passage. Here the Lord is preaching in a house, and it's crowded. Wall-to-wall people, jam-packed in. Almost like one of our taxis here in South Africa. Even at the door, it's crowded. Even by the door, it's crowded. People still come standing outside the walls, by the windows. And as we see, some of them even getting onto the roof. Here this paralytic is brought by his faithful friends, who, when they see this crowd, could have so easily given up and said, "Well, obviously, today is not the day." But they didn't. They clambered up the walls onto the roof, and then they even broke up the roof and started to let down this friend of theirs, this paralytic, on a stretcher. The interesting thought is that it says here in the Gospel And I'm reading now from verse 4. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Yeshua saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven," etc., etc., and goes on to heal him. Now notice something. It must have been quite an event having the roof broken into. And I'm sure there were a lot of things to look at. The stretcher coming down, the expressions on their faces, the whole spectacle of a stretcher appearing, as it were, from the sky. And yet, despite all these things that were happening, all these events, I'm sure the crowd was also making a lot of noise, a lot of excitement, a lot of speculation. But the Bible's very clear. What did the Lord look at? Or rather, what did he see? He saw their faith. If we inspect the life of the Lord Yeshua, you'll notice something. He's always looking and always responding to faith. We read in Luke 18 verse 8. This is the Lord himself speaking. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes," he asks this question, "will he really find faith on the earth?" We think of blind Bartimaeus. What arrested the Lord in his tracks? Yes, the man was crying out. But his statement to this man was, your faith has made you well. He was arrested. He was attracted by the man's faith. God is always looking for faith. And the reason is very simple. We've said it so many times. Before God could act on this earth, he must have faith. If he cannot find faith, his activities on this earth are limited. Now, many people balk at this thought and think, well, God is all powerful. He can do what he likes. Yes, he can. We've been through this before. But the truth is, he has chosen to restrict himself. And the system is, as it exists right now in this dispensation on this earth, for God Almighty to manifest on the earth, he must find faith. And the only place he can find faith is in the heart of a man. That's why God is looking for men and women who will demonstrate faith. If you want to argue further with this thought, just look at Matthew 13 verse 58. Here we have the Lord in his hometown, amongst his friends, amongst his family. And clearly in this hometown of his, there was sickness and disease, just like there was every other place in Galilee, in Judea, wherever he went. And as always, his desire was to heal them. That's why he came. He came to heal, to set free, to set the captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. But here it says that in his own hometown, he did not many mighty miracles. In his own hometown, where I assume that one would want to, more than anything, do great miracles. Because here was family, friends, people he knows, people he knew. His own people, as it were. But he couldn't. God Almighty on the earth could not do many mighty miracles. And it goes on to explain why. He could not, because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. They just assumed he was the Yeshua that they knew as a boy growing up, you see. They were familiar with him as a person. They couldn't see him or the anointing on him. But he couldn't help them. He wanted to, but he couldn't. Why? He couldn't find the faith that he was always, always looking for. And Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The same is in the earth today. You and I need to realize something, that if we want to get God's attention, the most important thing that we can do. Yes, we can have love in our hearts. Yes, we can be givers and kind. Yes, all of that is important. But the one thing that really attracts his attention, but more than his attention, that enables him to intervene, is faith. We need to be people that are continually giving God faith. There was a man who wrote a book. It was published in 1970. His name was Merlin Carruthers. He was a chaplain to the armed forces of the United States of America, who at that stage were engaged in a war in Vietnam. As a chaplain, he was involved with a lot of difficult situations, but he made an important discovery. He discovered that in any situation, if he and those around him could but stop and give God praise, in every situation, God intervened and turned the thing around. So he wrote this book. It's called From Prison to Praise, and it is a Christian classic in its own right. But you see, what did he tap into? When you and I lift holy hands and praise God, we are exercising faith in the God we cannot see. When we involve ourselves with praise and worship, what we are doing is giving God faith. That was the experience of Paul and Silas. As we know, deep in the Philippian jail at midnight, their feet in stocks, having been beaten, they started to praise and worship the living God. And not quietly, by the way. So loud that the people in the whole prison could hear them. And lo and behold, God received their faith. And what did he do? The earth trembled. They were set free. And the Philippian church was birthed in that city. Now, we've got to grasp that God is in any situation always, always, always looking for faith. And we need to understand that. You and I will find ourselves in difficult situations in life. And very often, in difficult situations, the big question is, well, what must I do? When we are traumatized, sometimes we do ridiculous things. I think of the disciples when they discovered the Lord transfigured with Moses and Elijah. They were so shocked that they said, well, let's just build a tent for them. They didn't know what they were doing. And you see, that's the enemy's tactic, to shock you and I in situations. And when we are in a state of shock, either we totally inactive, inoperative, or we do foolish things. It takes a level head in times like those to do the right thing. But what is the right thing? There are practical things, of course, that we need to do. But what is God looking for? God wants to intervene. God wants to help. We can't phone him on an emergency call line, as it were. He's not like a responder. But he wants to respond. Our hotline to heaven is faith. And in a situation like that, the best way to demonstrate faith is to praise him, to give thanks in the face of the situation. God always responds to faith. And you and I are obliged to give it to him. But let's just say something else about this. You see, we're not supposed to wait for the terrible day to dawn for us to now give God faith. The truth of the matter is, if we are not preparing for days of trauma or tragedy, etc., we'll not be ready when they come. What God is looking for is for you and I to be giving him faith on a daily basis. In fact, if we understand that faith grows, we'll realize that if we offer him praise, offer him thanksgiving, exercise our faith on a daily basis, we grow our faith. We can't come to the place where tragedy is averted because it can't touch us. It is Father's Day, and I'd just like to read a scripture from 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, which is an exhortation to men specifically And this is what Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy 2 verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Prayer, by the way, is also an expression of faith. Lifting up holy hands, that's praise, without wrath and doubting. You see, no doubt, no contention, no doubt. When there's lack of doubt, what do we have? We have faith. That's how to keep a happy home. The presence of faith continually filling the atmosphere. Now, we've talked about faith and how to grow it. And there's just a few things that I need to express because it is a daily experience. It's not just something we do now and then. You can't dabble with faith. Growing faith is a lifestyle. Obviously, faith comes from hearing His word. The bedrock of faith is a continual infilling with God's word. Regular study of the word of God will build your and my faith, inevitably. But it doesn't stop there. That word needs to be expressed. The best way to express that word is through prayer. You and I hear the voice of God through who? The word says, my sheep hear my voice. Our responsibility is to continually be in communication with Him. That is why He died. That's what He lives for, fellowship with Him. And can I just say that if you and I spend time with Him, once again, it's inevitable. We hear His voice and faith in our hearts will grow. Faith in our hearts will grow. Another great way to develop our faith is fellowshipping with like-minded believers. Not like-minded, unbelieving believers. We need to be with people continually that understand that the Word of God is true and speak it on a continual basis. We need to be believers, meeting with believers. And you see, it's very much like a fireplace. A coal on its own will go out, but a coal mixed with other coals that are on fire will burn ever, ever brighter. And then, of course, there's this praise that we've been speaking of. When we take the word of God and we sing it, we proclaim it, that builds up our faith and sends a message to heaven that in a sense makes God aware of us all the time, gives Him the ability to look out for us, to give us information before things happen, to warn us, to protect us. And you see, if we live a lifestyle like that, of continually praising Him, if we can pray in the Spirit all the time, it builds up our faith. It builds up our most holy faith. You and I, if we are dedicated to the development of our faith on a regular basis, should calamity come our way, we're in touch, you see. All we have to do is turn our eyes to heaven and expect the God of creation to act on our behalf. Isaiah 64 verse 4. For from days of old no one has heard, nor has ear perceived, nor has I seen a God besides you who acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. Who is like our God? Who is like our God? Who acts on behalf of those who wait for him? He acts on behalf of those who wait for him. How do we wait for him? By continually having our hearts and our minds set on him. God is available to you and I to help us in every situation. What is he looking for in the earth? What is he looking for? He's looking for faith in the hearts of men and women, you and I, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.